Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
This is the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. I want to welcome everyone to the Hagman Report, HagmanReport.com, two ends on Hagman, HagmanReport.com. There you can find our shows. Just click on the banner and it'll take you to our audio, video, sometimes video, sometimes only audio, like today. The reason, of course, today we're audio only, but don't turn away from the screen because there's a lot of visuals we're going to be offering you today. We had a little issue between John Moore and the Hagman Report in terms of getting the video synced up. Go figure. Don't know what's going on there, but no worries. Actually, John's coming in from an undisclosed location. That's right. John Moore, thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com for the web presence of John Moore. He's going to be with me today talking about a number of issues. Folks, there are two main issues in my view. And you feel free to correct me in the comment section at Rumble. Speaking of Rumble, I'm going to take a mental left turn here. You know, I was going through some things in my office and the studio adjacent to my office, and I found the plaque from YouTube you get when you reach a certain level of subscribers and a real nice shiny plaque. And I'm thinking, okay, I wonder what a 44 Smith and Wesson, and no, I wasn't thinking about that. Where was I going with that? Except to say that, I found it, and it's amazing what the censorship on the social media side of things is doing to patriots, which is why we walked away from a quarter of a million subscribers. We walked away. We told them to stuff it. And when I got it, you know what, Eric the Tech, by the way, welcome back to the studio today, Eric the Tech. It's Monday. Thank you.
It is.
And I want to say this. I want to thank you as well for bailing me out yesterday. Oh man, I had to call him on a Sunday. Should I tell him? I was moving a bookcase actually from a store. One of these very inexpensive bookcases that you really dread putting them together, right? Because it's just, oh man. Okay. So I'll pay the $25 to have it assembled. It's probably worth the hospital bill. Anyway, so I took my wife's, whatever it is. It's a SUV kind of thing, Honda thing. And, I had them load, I had the people load the guys load the bookcase in there, but I couldn't shut the tailgate because it's not that I didn't have enough room. It was because of a car seat in one of the middle seats. And, I just about took a pair of shears to cut the car seat out. Seriously. Seatbelt shears, EMS style. Because I don't know. Have you seen these, new car seats where they buckle them in? Apparently there are hooks inside the seats of the newer vehicles where they buckle in, and then there's 17 straps and I don't know. You could roll that vehicle over 50 times and the only thing that would be left would be that car seat still in place. So anyway, I had to call Eric and say, hey, can you give me a hand? So wherever he was, he came down and to where I was and fixed me up. And I appreciate that. Thank you so much, Eric the Tech. But anyway.
You were lucky. I was actually close by to where you were.
Yeah. Yeah. You were out and about and got to see my grandson, which is just a fabulous thing. But I'm telling you, I don't know what they're doing with these car seats. I don't understand any of this. We're not sending these kids to the flipping moon. Okay. We're not. I mean, astronauts are less secure than these car seats. And I remember when I was a kid, you know, I'd be in the front. I'd be on I'd be everywhere, you know? My gosh. Lap belts, if anything. All right. It's just frustrating. It was frustrating to me, but thank you for.
Well, when my youngest son and I got home, he said, "Mama, we saved Grandpa."
Saved me from a stroke. Oh, man. All right. Rather than talk about YouTube, and censorship, here's the thing. Things are starting to come out right now that are front and center. All right. Number one, we cannot move past November 3rd. The election, the coup that happened last November is number one. And identifying these people and prosecuting these people, as opposed to persecuting them or going after them in a, shall I say, a worse manner, they better hope to be prosecuted. Because what's worse, what could be coming, is far worse. That's number one. November 3rd, we cannot get past November 3rd, period. That's it. And we must take every one of these Muppets, these maggots that are responsible for the theft of the election, and we must hold them to account. That's number one. Number two, the garden gnome and company, Fauci. Okay, the Wuhan Communist Chinese Party virus. All right? It's number two. We have to get to the bottom of this. We can see some of the cracks in the armor of Fauci right now. Fauci is actually kind of painting himself or has been painted into a corner. Fauci admits, we had a collaboration with some Chinese Communist Party scientists. It's true. Okay, so, and I don't know if you hear Lady the Studio Dog. She's with me. She goes with me all the time. And even by me raising my voice, she gets a little bit excited, but, she's in the office. So hopefully you can't hear her, but here's the bottom line with Fauci. If you go back into the 1980s, and this is so important to go back into the 1980s. And watch what happened with the HIV AIDS, quote, pandemic. Let me explain that HIV and AIDS it's not synonymous. Wait a minute. If I have HIV, isn't that the precursor for AIDS? Guess what? If you listen to Fauci, oh, yeah. But it's not. And I'll say it again. Research paupers. Okay. And rather than get into it, just understand AZT, the acronym AZT for the cancer serum, the cancer medication that was so devastating to cancer patients. They couldn't even prescribe it to cancer patients, but they prescribed it to AIDS patients or HIV patients. Oh, man. When you look into Fauci's background, all of a sudden you're going to see things that'll just make your head explode. And in the right before the this scandemic reared its ugly head, you had the creator of the PCR test die of pneumonia. Now, he was 74 years old, okay? But he was a very, very big antagonist against Fauci. I mean, he said, look, Fauci, I would chase him down to his car. I believe he said something like, I would chase that SOB to his car to get the answers that I want. Something, I'm paraphrasing. But you can understand that the creator, the inventor, the Nobel Prize winner, Kerry Mullins, of the PCR test, just outed Fauci. And now Fauci's admitting, well, yeah, we had a collaboration with some Chinese Communist Party scientists. You see, the NIH, they received $3 million in funding. And guess what? Through Fauci, through the NIH, they funded Wuhan, the Wuhan laboratory, some $600,000 that can be accounted for. And Fauci say, we didn't really do that. Yes, you did. You did it through Echo Health Alliance. So you're parsing words. So again, moving back, there's two things. We cannot get past. We must not. If I hear someone say, well, 2022, we're going to get them. 2024, we're going to. No, you're not. We go back to 2020. We take care of business there. Okay. We kick some ass. We take names and we handle it in 2020. We don't move past November 3rd of 2020. I don't care. There's Georgia Secretary of State, the Georgia governor. The Arizona government, John and I are going to be talking about this because I'm telling you right now, there are a lot of people that are scared witless from what's happening. I mean, absolutely, their heads are exploding. Whether they're Republican, Democrat, whether they're pundits, their heads are exploding because they're about to be uncovered for the criminals that they are. So that's on the November coup. And then this whole scandemic thing, that's unraveling. Oh, it wasn't really a man-made. There's no verification. It was man-made. It was a bioweapon. It was gain of function. And every time you hear the phrase gain of function, there's just one word that you need to insert in there instead of gain of function. Weaponization. So it's weaponization of a virus. Not man-made, and Fauci is the figurehead, the bobblehead, the garden gnome, that little lawn jockey holding that lantern at the end of your driveway. That's him. John Moore, thelibertyman.com, thelibertyman.com. With me, I've got an array of things. Oh, before I go, and John, I apologize for taking your time up. I just want to tell people, I want to thank you. Folks, I'm going to thank you in advance. My book, In the Dark of Night, on Amazon right now. The ratings are in. It's holding a 4.9 or 4.8 rating, on Amazon, and it's really been very well received. Six countries, thousands of books sold. And I want to really, thank you folks for not only, purchasing the book, but anyone who has left a honest review of the book. And I don't know if we have that, panel there. There's been several, written reviews, and they're all very good. It doesn't matter. You don't have to show it. It's just there. So if I can ask you a favor, if you've read the book, leave an honest review. That's great. And, one more thing, the, books that were the second half of the first pallet of books coming to the Hagman store, we got, only part of a shipment, and I hope to get the other part of the shipment. There's something going on with shipments. I don't know what it is, but there's something not right with the shipping process of all goods, not just books, but all goods. So hopefully we'll get the rest out, who ordered the books. And then once I have the other part of the pallet, the rest of the pallet in stock, we'll open the store back up again for the books. But, nonetheless, they're available on Amazon and Kindle and hard copy version. And again, I've gotten a lot of good response. So with that, John Moore, thanks for being patient with me. I know that we have some camera issues between us, syncing up the cameras, but that's all right. You're in your fatigues, army, military fatigues.
Tiger stripe.
There you go. You had to take off the ghillie suit and appreciate that. I forgot to, I got to tell you this. It's kind of like we're off air, but Rob Rob Pugh from the Wisconsin Christian News sent me a text. And I should have forwarded it to you. He said he got his first ride in a Triumph TR7 this past weekend. Sent me a nice picture. So
very nice.
Yes. Yes. All right.
Well, so, Doug, thank you. Good to be here. Well, each week we got something new about the coronavirus, and you can't take. You know, if you've got dangerous blood, they won't take it. And obviously, people who have had the COVID shot have dangerous blood. I got back from Vietnam. I was prohibited for a year because of the possibility I might have malaria from donating blood. I didn't have malaria, but they didn't want to take any chances. About 60% of the adults have had the COVID shot, which knocks out the possibility of 60% of the possible donors of blood, which easily could lead to shortages of blood that's needed to keep people alive. An unexpected part of the whole COVID matter. Wordless. You're speechless.
You know, yes, yes. And I know it's bad form for radio to have dead air. But what more do people need?
They need to be smacked in the face with a 2x4 is what they need. A friend of mine, he's a nationally known artist. He plays poker about once a week with some friends of his who are all medical doctors. It turns out they all thought that the COVID shots were FDA approved. And he says, no, it's emergency use authorization. It's not FDA approval. And these medical doctors didn't even know that, Doug. So if medical doctors don't know it, how can we expect us barefoot peasants to know it? Obviously, it's not going to happen.
Again, you know, any doctor that doesn't know the status of an experimental gene therapy, not a vaccine, yet says, hey, you've got to get it, or they promote it. Tell me, I mean, what is wrong with these people? I walk around.
Well, first of all, they're just people. And of course, they're just Americans. A friend of mine, she worked for the administration at St. Louis University Medical School. She said, if you're going to be admitted to medical school at St. Louis University in St. Louis, Missouri, you got to be in the top percentile of academics and intelligence. And the first thing they do, about first week these students are there, they walk them to the library and say, this is a library. Because so many of them have never set foot in a library in the modern age. They simply don't do that. Everything they do is online.
Oh,
which if you're in medical school, there's limitations to what you can find online that will help you graduate from medical school, especially a world-class, prestigious university like St. Louis University. There's a point I want to make here, and the doctors that my friend plays poker with are nothing extraordinary or out of the ordinary. They're just doctors, and probably representative of many, if not most, of the medical doctors in this country. It's a pretty sad situation, Doug, and I agree with you that if anybody should know, medical doctors should know, but they don't.
You know, yeah, I don't even know where to go with this, except to say if they don't, that would be a deal breaker with my physician. I mean, not that, believe me, I would never, ever, ever get an experimental gene therapeutic shot that this is.
Oh, there's a follow-up. There's a follow-up on this.
Oh, go. Oh, please give me the follow-up. Because
I made an inquiry last week with my insurance broker to find out the following. If somebody accepts an experimental drug or an experimental vaccine, does it make the life insurance policy null and void? She said, John, I don't know. I'll check on it and get back with you. So we're waiting for that answer now. I've heard stories that that's the case, but I need independent verification before I can stand behind it and say, yeah, that's in fact the truth.
All right. Now, so here's, you know, folks, John Moore has done, he's a homicide investigator. He's done numerous investigations, as I have. Okay, so we got two investigators talking. If this was a crime scene, if this was a fresh crime scene, when I'm saying the from the I'll use the word pandemic, which it's not, but I'll use that word from the origins and the date of the pandemic to the present, including and encompassing the election of 2020, the run-up to every part of that, to the election and afterwards to the present day. To me, John, I cannot, I mean, these two events are linked.
Of course they're linked.
Yeah, yes, yes.
That's a given. Of course they are.
Right. But a lot of people, I guess I'm starting to, here's my final statement. I'm seeing people who are not seeing the linkage, the connection, and that bothers me because you cannot separate the two.
Well, Doug, a friend of mine, he was the headmaster of a private Christian high school and elementary school. And he says, John, we spend an awful lot of our time attempting, the key word being attempting, to teach critical thinking skills, which, of course, is not done hardly at all in the public schools. We have some severe problems in this country, Doug, with education, what's taught, what's not being taught, the basic skills of learning, of course, being mathematics and language skills, aren't being taught properly, if at all, in many of these schools. And these people end up becoming adults and end up becoming voters. Going back to your premise about the connections, if you and I were given the assignment to look into the make-believe pandemic, first of all, I would look at what is a pandemic, what is the legal definition, and then I would find out, oh, they changed it. They changed what the definition of a pandemic is. And I'm blanking out on the exact year, but it's been about 10 plus years ago, that the, maybe 2008, that comes to mind now, around 2008, 2009, they changed the definition of what is a pandemic. Before that, there had to be a certain number of deaths in a certain number of countries from the same disease. It's been modified to the point where they don't need any deaths to have it be a pandemic. But for political reasons and to cause fear, they ramped up the deaths by including everything that you can think of, suicides, gunshots, all kinds of things, heart attacks, were included in the pandemic COVID-19 deaths to make it more scary, more fearful. I think they're saying now about 500,000 Americans have died from COVID. It may be 4,000 or 5,000 actually died from COVID and nothing else.
And we have to be very precise in our language. There's a difference from dying from Corona, you know, COVID-1984, or dying with COVID-19.
Precisely.
Okay.
Precisely. And that's the things that with us as investigators looking at this, that's what we'd be looking into. Now, in my county, in Crawford County, Missouri, I know that the coroner is reviewing all the death certificates with the health director to try to eliminate the make-believe pandemic deaths from the real pandemic deaths.
Right.
I don't know if all 3,300 plus counties in the United States are doing that, but it's being done in my county to try to eliminate some of the fraud and the lies and deception that's going on. We've been had, you know, the people behind this, they may have evil intent, they may have satanic intentions, but we have to admit, at least I admit, they're brilliant in this plan, absolutely brilliant in this plan, to come up with this biological warfare mechanism, to convince people that it was real, convince people it was deadly, in order to get the mail-in ballots, in order to destroy the U.S. economy, in order to get an extremely unqualified man in the Oval Office backed up by his communist buddy, heels up Kamala Harris. And they mostly...
Did you know, by the way, Kamala Harris was the Was one of the squeezes of Montel Williams back at the turn of the century. I don't know whether you knew that or not or care, but, you know.
Well, that was probably a legitimate, well, I don't know what is a legitimate squeeze, but apparently she used her, talents, shall we say, to climb to the top of the political, chain that she was part of. But she is a bona fide communist. Her communist connections are just absolutely crystal clear. Joe Biden is just owned by the communists. He doesn't have any feelings one way or the other for communism, but Kamala Harris genuinely is a communist.
Yes, yes, you're 100% correct on this. And folks, listen to John on this, because Kamala Harris, along with, I would say probably on the south or, you know, on the south side of the number, we've probably got 100 congressional members who are associated with the Communist Party, okay, Marxist ideology, at least 100. I would say more, but that's conservative. And so you've got Kamala Harris as the supposed presumptive VP, you know. And then, of course, all of the handlers behind them. So you're right, and John Moore's got it. He nailed it. So go ahead, sir.
Well, Steve Bannon has connections. You know, he's on a first-name basis with my president, President Trump. You know, I'm not very happy with President Trump's stance on the COVID-19 and the shots, either one. He's kind of hedging himself on saying people have free choice, to paraphrase what he's saying about getting a good, not getting the shots. But his support for them, I think, is very disturbing. Regardless, Steve Bannon has said that he believes President Trump could be back in office before the year is over. Mike Lindell, who has is on a first-name basis with President Trump, is also saying the same thing. I don't know how that can happen at the moment. Whatever it is percolating in the background that these men know about, that you and I, normal human beings, do not know about, has to be very serious, very severe, with extremely strong, irrefutable evidence in order for that to take place, doesn't it, Doug?
Yes. And as a matter of fact, okay, so here's, now I follow Bannon quite a bit, and Raheem and others, and Colonel Lawrence Sellin, who appears as a guest, has been greatly involved in certain aspects of what Steve Bannon is doing. Mike Lindell, of course, is good friends with Brandon House. All of the, and Brandon House is a really good friend of mine in this program. So Brandon House and Mike Lindell have been working together. So, and I should point out to the people, if you see every video you see done, produced from Mike Lindell, has been produced in Brandon House's studios, okay? And folks, long-time listeners, you know who Brandon House is. He's been on the show many, many, many times. All right, so I was speaking with Brandon. All right, now, how can I put this without... I was speaking with Brandon, and again, Brandon, Mike Lindell, there's this alliance there that falls over into Steve Bannon and others who are involved in all this. And the information I've been getting, John, is the fact that, look, I'll just offer this to you. Here's how they're looking at this. The Arizona forensic audit is going to turn up so much, criminality. That's the only word I can use. Criminality. That it will overturn that state and cause other states to be overturned because of the same MO used in Arizona. Now,
exact same.
Yes. Now hold that thought for a second, okay? Now what's happening is because of, and folks, this is so important, because of some of the infiltration made by the enemies of Steve Bannon and Brandon House, Mike Lindell, you, John, me, Dave Hodges especially, because Hodges is at ground zero in Arizona. But because of some of this and because of the information that they were able to get, the left, their heads are exploding because they know what's coming. And if I may, John, because I saved this for you and me today. This is kind of a mashup. I believe this might be the mashup. If not, it's close to it, of Joe Scarborough. He melts down that during a conversation about the Maricopa County audit. Can we play this? Is that all right?
Let's hear it.
All right. Let's go. Go ahead, sir.
They don't want to know the truth. They want to know what's true to them. They want to know their truth. And their truth is this election was rigged. Well, why don't you just Google this? And why don't you just look at the election returns? They're desecrating all the things that the American flag is a symbol of. So you will fight to the death for the symbol. You just won't give a damn for a second about the thing that symbol stands for. America, love it or leave it. If you don't have respect in American democracy anymore, if your guy doesn't win, if that's the new rules of engagement for this great republic, then just leave our country. There are millions of immigrants who will come here and raise their right hand and buy into the creed and believe that we are exceptional, that believe American democracy is the greatest government on the face of the earth. And most importantly, they will fight for what that flag represents. Well, you shame yourself. Well, you disgrace yourself. Get the facts. Live in the light. Follow the truth. And love this country. And stop this. Or leave. If you're going to believe a reality TV show host's lies about the American Republic, then just get the hell out. We don't want you here. That's all I got to say.
You couldn't have said it better.
Well, thank you.
No, I really appreciate that.
I appreciate it.
The war of words broke out after Trump tweeted about the death 19 years ago of a 28-year-old intern, Lori Clausutis, who worked for Scarborough when he was a Republican congressman from Florida. She was found dead in his district office. Trump tweeted that NBC's parent company should open up a long-overdue Florida cold case against psycho Joe Scarborough.
That's sick. Donald, you're a sick person. You're a sick person. He's tweeting again all sorts of crazy things. Once again, tweeting conspiracy theories about Joe, falsely accusing him of murder, talking about the death of a young staffer in his congressional office years ago, and calling him dangerous to walk the streets.
Kirkland worked at the District 1 Medical Examiner's Office from 1997 until 2003, when he was fired for not completing autopsy reports. Kirkland was arrested and charged in September after authorities found more than 100 human organs and tissues in a Pensacola storage unit he'd been renting.
But that's just normal. Like the Seth Rich conspiracy murder, that was pushed by your allies, you don't understand the pain you cause to families who have already lost a loved one.
Well, tell me what I need to do.
Well, no, you're doing great. I mean, don't be afraid to be funny.
Okay.
Because you are funny. I asked you why you went in Congress. You said you'd had sex with the intern, then you had to kill her.
Exactly.
I mean, that's pretty risky to say.
What are you going to do?
You can be very good.
Well, you know, I would note that the president said this morning that this is not an original Trump thought, and it is not. In fact, 2003 on Don Imus's show, it was Don Imus and Joe Scarborough that joked about killing an intern. So that was, I'm sure, pretty hurtful to Lori's family, and Joe Scarborough himself brought this up with Don Imus, and Joe Scarborough himself can answer it.
All right. Now, that kind of went off into a tangent, John, with Lori Clausutis, who was found dead in his office, I believe it was July 19th of 2001. In fact, I know July 20th. I'm sorry. So that's a fact. And the coroner who did the medical examiner who did the autopsy, Dr. Michael Kirkland. Yeah. Okay. Arrested for, you know, having body parts in a storage unit. Okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But when you look at the death diagnosis, you see some pretty interesting things. Okay. So let's push that aside for a moment. the reaction, John, the reaction to the audit at Maricopa by John, by Morning Joe and Mika is, to me, it is just telling. Now, you as an investigator, having that kind of visceral reaction against merely wanting to get to the bottom of the truth, get to the truth, wouldn't that kind of send some alarm bells off?
Well, absolutely. Well, the congressman's rant was classic in the sense that he was attacking the messenger, not the message. And that's a foundational thing people need to keep in mind. He was not attacking or even addressing the evidence of vote fraud, not even a little bit. Now, I don't know the circumstances of this young woman's death or anything about that, and if I did, I would comment on it, but I don't. Typically, interns are healthy young men and women, but I don't know anything about this woman or what the circumstances were.
Yeah, she's 28 years old and found. Now look, in Erie County, a young lady named Robin, mother, she was a young mother. I think she was in her early 30s. She was sitting at her desk at the DA's office. This is back, I don't know, 30 years ago, maybe 25, 20 years ago. I don't know. And suddenly she just slumped over and was dead before her head hit the desk from a cerebral hemorrhage, okay? Now, things happen. We get that. Okay, we get that. But this, because, and I won't get into all the nuts and bolts of this, but when you start digging through the initial reports versus the subsequent reports and seeing the things change, there's a lot of weird stuff with this. And don't forget, this is around the time of the missing intern that was found in the park in Washington, D.C. And I can't remember the what the heck was her name? Anyway, it doesn't matter. But the bottom line here, in the area of concern, is the reaction by the left to this audit. And you're 100% accurate in terms of, well, hey, man, you know, this is over the top and attacking the messenger as opposed to the message. So, yeah.
Sure. Yeah. That's right. And that's a good indicator that the reason that's done, first of all, if you can't attack the message because the message is accurate, the message is truthful, the message is backed up by evidence, well, what's left? Then you attack the messenger. So that's what's going on there. We're going to see a lot more of this. Now, my presumption is once Arizona is done and this fraud is proven, that these other states, I believe the state legislature would have to authorize audits in these other states. Is that accurate? I don't know, Doug.
Well, right now, let me just look at my notes here, because right now we've got some things happening in New Hampshire with respect to the folds of the ballots. We've got some things happening in Pennsylvania where, gee, some of the machines are acting up or have acted up, and some Wisconsin. So it's going to go Arizona, and I didn't even mention Georgia. So it's going to go Arizona, Georgia, New Hampshire, perhaps concurrent, and then Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Michigan, I believe somewhat in that order. And it's going to be a very quick, bam, 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 where the fraud will be exposed. And not only the fraud, but the criminals behind the fraud. And watch Georgia and the connections between the Communist Chinese Party, the and the people like the secretaries of state and the governors, and even some of the party officials, not to mention the election officials of each party. So this is a people need to understand, this is not a Republican-Democrat thing. This is a good versus guilty thing, okay? That's what's taking place right now, if that makes sense.
It does make sense, Doug. It does. Well, we're in for a wild ride this year, this calendar year 2021, with the issues with the election fraud, the COVID-19 shots. I hate to call those things vaccinations since they're not. The economy. A friend of mine, this is relevant to our discussion, he drives a refrigerated truck delivering fresh meat and produce east of Mississippi. And he's typically out for 6 weeks at a time. I happened to spend a couple of hours with him over the weekend getting caught up. And he says that they're running short on meat. The meat is getting very expensive, but they're actually the supply itself is getting short. And he has similar concerns about fruits and fresh fruits and vegetables as well. But it's an interesting side note. We've all heard about the shortage of lumber leading to these dramatic price increases. Well, he goes by some of the depots where the lumber is kept in bulk, railroad sidings and so forth. His John, I've never seen so much lumber in my life. It's just stacked up and stacked up.
What are you telling me?
Well, the suppliers are holding back from the retailers in order to artificially get the prices up. That's what's happening.
You know, I need my shed redone, and I got to tell you this, John. I'm not willing to pay the amount of money needed for a piece of plywood, or even a 2x4 at this point.
Yeah, well, an 8-foot 2x4 is going for $9 plus. Excuse me. I bought two 2x8s and one 1x8 pressure treated about 3 or 4 weeks ago. It was $60 for three boards pressure treated.
Wow. Okay. So the lumber, in some cases, at least what you're saying, the lumber is kind of being hoarded to increase the demand, and then thus the price people are willing to pay. All right, that's not good. No, I'm not liking that, but okay. But I suspect.
Well, here's another aspect of that, Doc. People building home, typically they get a home building loan build the home, and then that becomes a mortgage after the completion of the home. Well, typically these loans to build the homes were taken out quite a few months ago, and what people are finding out is they don't have enough money in the loan they got to pay for the material.
Right.
So we have concrete foundations sitting all around the country with no new home being built on top of them because the loan wasn't sufficient to pay for the material. And which means either that would be the end of it and people end up paying for something they can't and won't get, or they have to secure a new loan, a new building loan, to cover the increased cost of the not only lumber, but many other construction items have gone up dramatically in price also.
Wow. Yeah, and people need, those people who have never had a home built, you know, need to understand it's done in steps. The financing is done in steps. So if suddenly there's this huge price increase of whatever, let's say copper wire or for the electric or for lumber in this case, you know, it's going to affect what you pay. You've been pre-approved for X amount of dollars. Now that X turns into X times three. And you can't, it's not good. Okay, wow.
No, and to a certain extent, I'm sure the same thing applies to commercial construction.
Yes.
Same basic principles apply. This country's in deep trouble for a lot of reasons. And of course, the international scene is not improving. We got a ceasefire between Hamas and the Israelis, which is good on one hand. On the other, China is still threatening all their neighbors in that part of the world, building artificial.
Before you move on between Israel and Hamas, okay, a ceasefire to me legitimizes Hamas. Hamas is nothing more than a bunch of ragtag terrorists that are being funded by the Biden regime. And you can check this out, folks. Money is going to missiles for Hamas. Not for Israel, but for Hamas. But nonetheless, a ceasefire, though, that term legitimizes Hamas as an organization as opposed to the bloodthirsty, blood-sucking terrorists that they are, right? And so, but yes, ceasefire, yes, you're correct.
The Israelis have to, of course, bite their tongue and make a deal with the devil to get the fighting stop, whatever it takes, which it may be a legitimate ceasefire. It might just be an opportunity for Hamas to rearm and bring in ever more powerful missiles. And there are some issues with on the United States end about resupplying the missiles used in the Iron Dome as well.
Yes.
Which I understand cost $1 million apiece, Doug. Have you heard that?
Yeah, I've heard that. I can't verify that. I mean, how are you able to, you know, how's anyone able to verify the cost of a Pentagon related expense to a foreign country unless you're inside? So, yeah, they're expensive and they're not being replaced. So that's opening up Israel for invasion. And it's a sad thing. But I go back to the biblical side of things where Israel is going to be invaded, but the invaders are going to be, you know, turned back, fire, you know, fire, brimstone kind of thing taking place. And it's going to be by God, not necessarily, or through God. So, yeah, I'm waiting for the locusts and the frogs and the, you know, everything else.
Well, We may see that yet, but the plan, as I understood it several weeks ago when this whole thing between Hamas and Israel started, was for Hamas to use rather inexpensive old Russian rockets, or not even missiles. I think it's probably Stalin's Organ, which those things shoot 30 or 50 rockets at a time, and use up the Iron Dome $1 million missiles with the cheap rockets, and then once they're used up, then bring in the more sophisticated Russian guided missiles. They're older, but they have what we've been told is upgraded guidance systems that they actually can hit what they want them to hit, as opposed to just kind of point and aim and hit whatever gravity brings them down. So that's a viable plan, and a workable plan is to overwhelm the Iron Dome with cheap rockets, to use up the expensive Iron Dome rockets, then start shooting off the larger, more powerful Russian-guided missiles to achieve their goal of attacking Israel. And keeping in mind that Hamas is backed up by the military and the government of both Iran and Turkey, which is some serious resources, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, you've got all of these proxy states out there. Ultimately, they're proxies for either, at the end of the line, Russia or China, okay? But Iran and Turkey as an intermediary for these terrorist organizations, absolutely. You know, so, yeah, I mean, this is, we are facing some seriously horrific times. And John, why didn't we see Hamas raining down rockets on Israel while President John Trump was in office? Why didn't we see that?
It's real simple. It's called the Strategic Air Command. and the Mediterranean Fleet. Trump wouldn't have hesitated a moment to put those people, you know, back to the Stone Age if that had gone on. His son-in-law is Jewish, and he's been a big friend of Israel for years. So I don't always agree with the politics of the Israeli government, but the Israeli people are innocent and they deserve to be protected.
Yeah, and there's a difference between Zionist, and the true biblical Israelis, you know, but
absolutely,
you know, that aside, yeah, I want to ask you about this. I know that there's more international stuff, but I want to ask you about this because, I was doing some research this weekend and I was looking at the, what I like to call the Soros / communist effect here in America. And I saw this and I thought, man, I got to talk to John Moore about this because St. Louis, Missouri, and I did not know this before this weekend. Did you know that the murder rate in St. Louis, your state, which is already the worst in the nation, reached a 50-year high in 2020 with 87 homicides per 100,000 residents? Okay, so and I kept digging down. So already per capita, St. Louis, worst in the nation. And by the way, I've taken some wrong turns in St. Louis. And you don't want to do that. Okay, you just don't want to do that. Anyway. So here's, this blew my mind. So the Soros machine, as I like to call it, they decided the, well, St. Louis mayor, Tashara Jones, the city's first black female mayor, okay, she became that the last month. She came, she campaigned on a promise to enact progressive criminal justice reforms and proposed a budget last month that would close a city jail, divert $4 million from police to social programs, and cut nearly 100 police jobs. Okay, now that's in St. Louis, highest per capita murder rate in the nation. So I guess my question is, John, what the heck?
Okay, well, there are several. You know, this is my hometown, St. Louis, Missouri, and I'm pretty familiar with the politics in general. The Democratic Party in St. Louis City is basically the Communist Party and has been for, oh, probably 30 years or more. The demographics play into these numbers of the high murder rate. Going back to the Civil War, the governor of Missouri was concerned that St. Louis City would side with the Confederate States of America, and he brought St. Louis City under his direct control and took it out of St. Louis County. Because St. Louis City is not part of St. Louis County, the combined population of Metro St. Louis City and County would be about 2.5 million people. But since the city of St. Louis is not part of St. Louis County, it skews the way the numbers are calculated. St. Louis City only has about 300,000 people. And if St. Louis City and St. Louis County were combined for the purposes of counting the murders per capita, the numbers would be dramatically different.
Okay, but I don't mean to interrupt. You lost me.
It's calculated number of murders per 100,000.
No, right? I get that. Where you lost me is, how can St. Louis City not be a part of St. Louis County? I thought that was kind of pretty
because
much.
Because during the Civil War, that's what happened. The governor made it that way. The St. Louis City Board of Police Commissioners reports to the governor, to the state government, for example. There's a lot of, and there's been attempts at changes over the years, which have been mostly unsuccessful.
I did not know that.
So your homicide rate per 100,000 would be dramatically less if we had a normal situation. Like most cities are part of a county, and those numbers are counted as a metro area, not as a standalone area. So that's large, you know. Granted, there's a lot of people shot and killed in the city of St. Louis, but the percentages and the public perception is skewed by the way these numbers are counted.
Okay, all right. Okay, that makes sense to me. What's still rattling around in my brain is the fact that in the Civil War, not part of the county, how the hell does that work? But I guess I get it. Okay, and yes, but as you said, this does not make the politics, the political ideology of the left, the communist left, any less dramatic in every sense of the word. I mean, you've got the city's black corrections department commissioner saying, "Look, I'm going to resign." He said that last week. Now Jones, the mayor, said, "You know, I didn't ask him to step down, but she was citing inhumane conditions for the prisoners, and among other things, she was clearly happy that he was leaving." But you know, so well, wow, just a bunch of stuff going on.
Well, St. Louis City has a lot of issues, and many of which they've created for themselves. For example, a 1% income tax on wage earners in the city of St. Louis, which obviously drives out business. 1% may not sound like that much, but for a small business making a decision, should I have my business in St. Louis County or St. Louis City? Well, that's 1% in your pocket you wouldn't have otherwise.
Yeah, and if you got a big business, that's a lot of money.
it adds up quickly.
Yeah.
And so they shot themselves in the foot with that, and there's been various attempts to get rid of it, but they can't bring themselves to do it for whatever reason. Educational system in St. Louis is basically child care. There's not much education taking place in the public schools. Most of the courses in grade school and high school for really bright students have been eliminated. There's still some, not much. If you have a genius level IQ, you do get special treatment, but it has to be at that level. St. Louis City has made a lot of unwise decisions for decades that have driven businesses out of the city, driven the young productive people out of the city, and leaving behind the less productive older people and people who live on public assistance and so forth. But it's a tragedy, and I don't know what it's going to take to correct it, if it ever can be corrected, Doug.
Yeah. And I, again, my apologies for kind of almost being like an ADD kind of thing, but bouncing from subject to subject. I want to get back to the audit, because the Maricopa County audit, because you had said something about, you know, how this is, to me, Maricopa County, it's going to be the first domino to fall. Liz Harris, just a great patriot there in Maricopa County, saying, you know, the Maricopa is going to be the first domino to fall. I'm going to show you a web page. Where's this from? This is, Newsmax. Now, I'm not a fan of Newsmax, folks. I'm not a fan of Newsmax anymore, for a lot of reasons, but okay. Let's take it. Take this. It's the news, not the platform. Georgia judge orders an audit of 147,000 Fulton County absentee ballots. Now, this is in Georgia, happening at the same time, and really following the lead of the Arizona's forensic audit of the last election. They're looking at 147,000 absentee ballots. They're being unsealed for the audit. Plus, there's also a few other, and folks, you can read this article on Newsmax, but there are also other little things that are being looked at in as well in this audit. This is not a recount. This is not let's count the already counted. No, this is getting in there. And this judge, Judge Amaro, his decision, okay, is against the wishes of the Secretary of State and the Governor of Georgia, but former President Donald Trump ostensibly lost to Fulton County by 381,144 votes. Okay. There was a 65.57% voter turnout. Now, I made a mistake there. Trump lost the state by around 13,000 votes. That's the bigger picture. But the judge said, look, you've got to follow the certain procedure. And the procedure was like really tight. And again, you can read this, folks, at newsmax.com. I'll put the link in the program description box. But this is happening now all over the country. And so which goes back to, you know, Morning Joe and Mika and their fear and Rachel Maddow, her abject fear. I mean, you can see it. You can see it in their faces. They're like, oh my gosh, I can't, we can't do this. We can't allow this to happen. So to me, what you said earlier, because a lot of people are going to send me emails about what you said. Well, Mike Lindell said President Trump might be back in office or will be back in office by the end of the year. Or at some point, you know, soon. I've been hearing that too. I've been hearing, and look, I don't know how this works. Do you?
Well, nobody does. There's no precedence for what's taking place. You know, our republic has been around more than two centuries, and there's no precedence for this. It's basically, make it up as you go. Look at the Constitution, look at precedents, use the legal system to work it out, the details. But our legal system has never been used for this purpose before. So there is no precedence. It will cause a lot of, to use a biblical term, wailing and gnashing of teeth, to say the least, to have a sitting president removed from office when it's found that he was fraudulently, illegally elected. Now, my friend Steve Bannon, who has excellent contacts, he says that the Trump administration was ready to pull the trigger before they left office and arrest Joe Biden. But word came down from entities, shall we say, above the President of the United States that actually run the world to not do that. That's what Steve Bannon says. And I don't know how true that is. All I know is what Steve says. Now we've got Mike Lindell and Steve Bannon and others making these claims that President Trump will be back in office. These guys don't get their news from the Wall Street Journal or GV. They get their information from the people that make the news, not secondhand stuff like the rest of us barefoot peasants. If John Moore would say something like that, people will say, "So what? What does Moore know?"
Exactly.
Or Doug Hagman, but when you got people like that have lunch with the President Trump and like Steve Bannon and Mike Lindell, it's time to get a cup of Detective's Choice coffee and pay notice. Seriously.
And did you notice how President Trump is starting his rallies again, and his Trump plane is out of mothballs from upstate New York now and getting some tweaks done on it. I mean, so what's that about?
He's obviously campaigning. Donald Trump doesn't do anything that major without a plan, without a goal. And of course the man has a goal. And I've heard speculation he might want to run for U.S. Senate in Florida. I think that would be beneath him. Now, we have had previous presidents that ran for U.S. Congress and U.S. Senate both, but that's been, right, 19th century stuff. Typically our former presidents write books and go speaking tours and things of that nature. They don't really run for public office again. But this guy, Donald Trump, does not fit the mold of any previous president, does he?
No, not at all. And I go back again to 2019 when, and 2020, but the end of 2019, the beginning of 2020, when things started to feel weird and seem weird and not normal with respect to, everyone was saying, look, President Trump is going to win handily. And I believe he did. And then you have Joe Biden who, he shows up at a rally. There's six people in circles and a bunch of Jeeps and he's talking to the back end of a Jeep. Okay. I mean, what the hell is that all about? And suddenly he pulls out the most victorious election ever in the history of mankind. I mean, what a bunch of crap. If people, I just can't believe people believe this stuff. But you mentioned this earlier, and I got to go back to it. And folks, you can go to thelibertyman.com, John Moore's web presence. Okay. It's on the screen right now. And you can scroll down and you can find various news nuggets that are worthy of your time, your reading, and your viewing, whether it's on the coronavirus, the Communist Chinese Party virus, or election, whatever it might be. But he's got a lot of good stuff on the COVID-1984 virus. Which brings me to this point. Remember when President Trump, John, suggested that this was a man, that the COVID-1984 was tweaked by man, was a man-made virus, and man, the fact checkers went on his butt. I mean, they just went nuts when Fauci was like rolling his eyes and Birx was just shaking her head, the scarf lady. And remember that?
Oh, yes.
Okay. If you don't mind, clip number four, we've got Fauci now what would you call it? Changing his testimony. If you listen carefully to what he says, He's changing his tact a little bit. And again, this is a guy, folks, who really, really screwed the AIDS, quote, epidemic, AZT, paupers, the whole nine yards. But let's take a look at the clip four.
As Senator Rand Paul, who you've tangled with in the past, basically suggesting that you and the NIH funded risky research that eventually down the line connected to COVID-19. Don't want to dwell on this for too long, but I did want to give you that chance to react to his comments today.
Yeah, I mean, that's actually preposterous. And I mean, to bring something that up is really not helpful. He was saying we funded a kind of research in China that could lead to dangerous research. That's not the case. So what he was saying was just absolutely not true. It's really unfortunate that he brought that up. It really does nothing but cloud the issue of what we're trying to do. So it was just, you know, unfortunate that he said that. It was said in an accusatory way that just made no sense and was not based in any fact at all.
That has been the subject of a lot of our fact checking on the coronavirus for the past year. And like you said, there's a lot of cloudiness around the origins of COVID-19 still. So I wanted to ask, are you still confident that it developed naturally?
No, actually, that's the point that I said. And I think the real unfortunate aspect of what Senator Paul did is he was conflating research in a collaborative way with Chinese scientists, which was, you know, you'd almost have to say if we did not do that, we would almost be irresponsible, because SARS-CoV-1 clearly originated in China, and we were fortunate to escape a major pandemic. So we really had to learn a lot more about the viruses that were there, about whether or not people were getting infected with bad viruses. So in a very minor collaboration as part of a subcontract of a grant, we had a collaboration with some Chinese scientists. And what he conflated that is that therefore we were involved in creating the virus, which is the most ridiculous, majestic leap I've ever heard of. But no, I'm not convinced about that. I think that we should continue to investigate what went on in China until we find out, to the best of our ability, exactly what happened. Certainly, the people who've investigated say it likely was the emergence from an animal reservoir that then infected individuals, but it could have been something else, and we need to find that out. So, you know, that's the reason why I said I'm perfectly in favor of any investigation that looks into the origin of the virus.
Yeah, I bet you are.
I bet.
Yeah. So, can you see him backing off a little bit? And my other question to you would be, you know, is he going to be held accountable for what he's done over the last really 40 years? I mean, whether it's from AIDS to this, the gain of function through the NIH, do you see, you know, I'm losing hope, John, I'm losing hope that we're going to see, but then again, you know, I always see the bad side of things, but I don't know. What are your thoughts, man?
Well, I'm just looking at an article here, an interview with Dr. Roger Hodgkinson about Anthony Fauci. And here's the first sentence. This was published today.
Okay.
At tapnewswire.com. And here's the quote from Dr. Roger Hodgkinson. Vaccines could cause mass male infertility. Anthony Fauci is a dead man walking, and the inquest into the pandemic will leave blood in the gutter with reputations torn to shreds for their sheer idiocy. And here's another quote. Dr. Roger Hodgkinson also says there is sufficient evidence in the literature to show the spike protein expresses in the placenta and the testes and could kill unborn babies in current pregnancies, permanently stop men from having children. Okay. Well, I like to point out that because we always have new listeners, Doug. Fauci was in charge of the U.S. response to AIDS back in the 1980s.
Yes.
100% fatal communicable disease. The real deal. not a make-believe pandemic like we've got now. Now, I was working in a law office full-time at the time, working on a couple of different homicides and related and unrelated matters. And the lawyers I worked with, I said to these guys, why in the world are we not putting these AIDS patients and AIDS positive people in quarantine? Why isn't that happening? Nobody had an answer. Now, fast forward to 2021 and 2020, the same guy is placing people in quarantine that aren't sick at all to protect others from a disease that kills almost nobody. Something's really wrong with that picture. Really, really wrong. Fauci should have been fired back in the 1980s for failure to quarantine people who were HIV positive, HIV AIDS positive. That should have happened immediately when the first cases, when they figured out that this was a 100% fatal communicable disease. That should have been done immediately, don't you think, Doug?
Yes, except now I watched a documentary this weekend. I can't remember if someone sent it to me or not. It was on BitChute. The person who posted it, posted under the name Med, that's M-E-D, Man 24. And the title of this was HIV equals AIDS, okay, dash Fauci's first fraud. Now, I watched this. It was an hour, I don't know, about an hour and a half, I think it was. And it went into, it drew clips from the early 80s. And here's why I'm mentioning this. Because Dr. Kerry Mullins was in there too, Celia Farber, who I had the pleasure of meeting in Washington, D.C., interviewed Kerry Mullins. But anyway, who, by the way, passed away, you know, right before the AIDS epidemic, but he's the father of the PCR test. What I'm getting at was there is no connection between HIV and AIDS. That was a manufactured event of Tony Fauci.
Really?
Yeah. So folks, what I'll do is I'm going to post this on the front page of HagmanReport.com. And John, I'll send you the link because this will suck you in. And I'm telling you, it blew my mind when I was watching this because I lived through this time. I mean, I remember this time as you do, I'm sure. As you said, but here, so yes, dead man walking, right? Okay. I hope the comeuppance is, you know, he gets, can I put this? I hope he gets what he deserves in terms
well,
of.
Well, his crimes are every bit equal to some of the men put on trial at Nuremberg, Germany at the end of World War II.
Right.
Every bit as serious and as horrible as what some of those German medical doctors did experimenting on people. And possibly now that I think about it, when it comes to just the death count, the body count, Fauci's going to be responsible for far more bodies than those German doctors everywhere. It'll be in the millions, in the many of millions that Fauci will be responsible for.
You know, John, I mean, have you, and this is just you and I speaking at the kitchen table, I guess, with, you know, a lot of people listening, but have you given the thought of, you know, what's the end game objective here?
Well, the end game, it's clear, is population reduction.
That's right. That's right.
Dr. Mike Yaden has said that crystal clear, is population reduction.
Yes.
In many ways, outright killing people, making women sterile, making men sterile, they have a devil's cocktail here in these. Oh, I got independent verification this morning. My one of my Monday guests on my show, he's with the EMP Shield out there in Kansas. And, out of 65 employees, about three of them got the COVID shot. And they did the magnet test on one of these guys, and the magnet stuck to the guy's arm.
Okay, and you know something? I had that done. There was somebody who I'm not going to give away who it was. I had them do it for me at a distance with a magnet, and the same thing happened. Now, it was within a two-day period from the time that they got the injection to the magnet test. So I don't know how long afterwards.
Well, we need to repeat it once a week. Now, the guy in Kansas said it hurt. The magnet test actually hurt his arm.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what your guy or gal said, but I think the magnet test may not work after several weeks. We don't know that yet.
No.
But whenever something's injected to the human body, the circulatory system moves it around to other parts of the body. So after maybe several weeks, the magnet test may not work anymore. But the fact that it worked at all is all that matters, isn't it, Doug?
Yeah, you know, John, I avoided talking about that initially because I thought, well, it's anecdotal evidence. And you know, really, okay, so what does that even mean? And how can you control something you can't, take part of yourself? You can see it on YouTube, but there's a lot of things. So John, what does that tell you, though, that magnet test? I mean, there's obviously something metallic that's
obviously.
Okay.
Obviously. On the face of it.
But to what end, I guess? Are they little tiny metallic receivers?
Unless it's gold or silver, I don't want it in my body. You know?
Yeah.
And even then, only certain types. There's type, you know, monatomic gold is something very, very healthy for people to consume. And obviously, silver prepared in a certain way can be very healthy for people too. But I don't want any iron shot in my body. No way.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. And then there was yet another video that I watched, this video was 5.5 or 5 hours. Okay. So I kind of half watched it, but it was about the people, you know, behind, all of this. And it got into, of course, Freemasonry and Freemasonry being the pretext for Luciferianism. Or Satanism, whatever you want to call it, and the people who are, you know, really running things. And so I went down these dark holes just to see what I could find. And I've got to tell you, to me, John, and then I'm just going to let you talk, that it seems to me that there is a huge conspiracy that people are unwilling to address, talk about, even look at, whether it's from that Freemasonic orb, that covering of Freemasonry. Regardless of that, the people don't want to know. They don't want to acknowledge the fact that we've got Satan worshippers, Luciferians, if you will, running things in our government, and that's the good versus evil, big scope of things, in my view. Anyway,
well. I agree, and it's most people of goodwill, with a kind nature and a good heart, they find it difficult to believe that there really is evil. And I'm related by blood to people like that. I won't mention, but it's just not part of their worldview that there really is evil in this world. Now, I have in my career, and I'm sure in your career also, I've shook hands with pure evil. One woman, a 19-year-old woman who orchestrated the murder of her own grandparents in cold blood to get what she thought she would get the assets of the grandparents. And it was the whole case was a travesty, a miscarriage of justice, but I don't want to get into that right now. I described this 19-year-old woman as evil in a pair of shoes. Seriously, that's what she was. Murdered the grandparents, put them in black plastic trash bags, put them in the trunk of their own Buick automobile with her boyfriend who actually did the shooting, drove off to Florida with the grandparents, credit cards from Missouri, dumping off the grandma and grandpa in the cornfield in Illinois on the way to their new life in Florida, which lasted about 3 days before the police were able to catch up with them. Yeah, so there is evil, and I've seen it firsthand. Most everything that takes place in war is evil in one way or another, and I've seen that firsthand. So I don't have any problem believing there's evil in this world and that there's evil behind what's been taking place since December of 2019, when we had the first reports of a new virus in China, and of course in January, and then especially February of 2020, when we started seeing these images come out of China, of apartment building doors, windows being welded shut, people walking down the street, apparently healthy enough to be outside and walking down the street, falling down face first, and dying from the coronavirus. So it's been well orchestrated, well planned, well executed to achieve a lot of goals, which the goals continue. Now, the first COVID shots began around December of last year, ramped up in January, February, but by March, they were really vaccinating millions of people, which tells me that around 6 months after that is when people are going to start dropping dead. So we're looking at, I think September is when there'll be a large body count. The media will be pretty good at convincing people it's not from the COVID shots for maybe two or three months. I don't know how good they're going to be, Doug. They've been so good in the past of making people believe nonsense. But the real cause of death of tens of millions of Americans will be the COVID shots.
Yes.
Men and women not being able to have babies as a consequence of the COVID shots. Children having health issues because of the COVID shots. It's a long list. Real estate values dropping because of the homeowners dying from COVID. The make-believe pandemic is going to become a real pandemic, isn't it, Doug?
You know, yes, and I can just see it now. Fauci or a mouthpiece, as well as the, you know, people, the zombies walking around here, and let's just say, well, it's because of the variants. You know, the variants are more deadly, and my goodness, look, you know, we just had real deaths. I mean, you know, hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands, who knows, of vaccinated, and I use that term deliberately, vaccinated people dropping dead because of these variants. And look, that's why you needed to wear masks, and that's why you needed to keep shutting down, and that's why we needed more money for these, for the bailouts and the $3,000 stimulus checks and so on. And this, to me, this is a cult of death for these people. And if I can show you one thing too, I don't know if you saw this real quick. You know, the mentality. Okay, so we're dealing, in addition to evil, we're dealing with a mentality of stupidity, of a cult-like, what would you call it? A cult-infused psyche. Watch this. It's a very, very short clip. It's a teacher that berated this student for not wearing a mask, okay? And in the context of what John Moore just said, watch this video, folks, and think about what happens when the COVIDiots who got the, you know, the Fauci ouchie, when they start dropping dead, what their family and their friends are going to say and the other COVIDiots are going to say about what's happening, because you can see this happening already. Here's Exhibit A of classic cult-like stupidity or cult-like behavior. Go ahead.
I don't care if you're vaccinated, you little dink.
Okay.
I don't want to get sick and die.
Okay.
There's other people you can infect just because you're vaccinated. You know what? You're not a special person around here.
Why?
You should hear about how everybody talks about you. You're
I know
a
how
jerk.
Talk to me. I don't care how people
You're
talk
a
about
jerk.
Me. Okay.
And you need to have respect for other people in your life.
I do.
You're not a big man on campus. Quit walking around here like you have a stick up your butt. People don't like you. I don't
a lot
like
of
you.
People like me.
They're pretending.
Mean, in a few years, look at me, and then you'll be like, oh, hey. Darn, I was wrong about him.
No, in a few years I know exactly where you're going to be, because people with your attitude don't get very far.
I think I'm pretty
You
good
treat
at
people like crap. And people treat that treat people treat like people crap like, don't get very far, Jimmy.
I treat people how they treat me.
No, you don't. You don't care about people. You are one of the most disrespectful kids I've ever seen grace the halls of this high school. Grow up! have a little compassion for other people in the world.
I do.
You do not.
Is it loud enough that you can hear me over your music? Park,
move. This goes on, but I wanted people to see that first part, John.
No, that was an adult chewing out a high school student.
That's right, a teacher who was ultimately put on administrative leave for that. A high school student who didn't wear a mask. The backstory is pretty simple, okay? The vaccinations were gained. They were had. But the young man didn't wear a mask. And this is a teacher confronting that young man.
Well, that was very unprofessional and very unethical for someone who's supposed to be a educational professional on the job.
Yes.
With people that she's given the charge of educating. Very unprofessional.
Can you imagine?
And she's put on administrative leave. She should have been fired, quite frankly. That's unacceptable behavior for somebody in that position.
I got a different tact aside, in addition to being fired, but that's just me, and it's unpopular among others, but involves a bucket of tar, some feathers, and a hot day. Okay, but anyway.
Well, that's people have become quite there's a form of psychosis regarding these masks. It really is, and there's multiple videos that people can watch of the psychosis playing out all over the country. And what we're hearing and seeing is that many people, even though the mask mandates are gone in many jurisdictions, they're fearful of taking off their mask. That's how far this has gone. They're actually fearful of removing the mask and going in public. It's quite the whole thing has been just an extraordinary event and an extraordinary lesson in human nature, hasn't it, Doug?
You know, John, yeah. And so, I mean, so I've got a question based on what you just said. Do you think that what we're seeing here is this grand experiment, whether it's it would be a psychological experiment, but a scientific and psychological experiment by the power brokers. So whether it's the actual COVID-1984 or the Communist Chinese Party virus, the Wuhan virus, or the vaccine, which is not a vaccine, or the masks, or the social. I mean, is this all like this grand experiment to see how far the power brokers can push us? Or is this something, I mean, could that, I'll just put a question mark there. Could it be that?
I have to disagree. This is not an experiment. People behind this, an experiment, you don't know what the outcome is going to be. These people know what the outcome is. You do an experiment to learn something, to find out what the outcome is going to be. These people know, behind this, know exactly what the outcome is going to be. They war-gamed this for at least a year or more before they actually pulled the trigger.
Okay, and that was my question. So we're beyond the experimental phase. We're into the, I guess it would be the
implementation
phase. I want you to take one more look at something here. I played this last Friday. What's that? Oh, you won't see it.
Well, I can hear it if there's audio.
Okay. Well, yeah. Well, I'll play it. Go ahead and play this. This is on a school bus, and folks,
I don't care.
Here it is. Okay. Watch this one more time, folks. Okay. All right. What you didn't see and what the people did see is a school bus driver giving a right hook. In my view, it was a right hook. It was a slap, open-handed slap, but a significant one. To a 10-year-old girl on a school bus. Okay.
Really?
Yes. Now, you've got grandkids. I've got grandkids. If that happened to my grandkids, that bus driver, the safest place for that piece of crap would be in a jail cell. Okay, that would be the safest place, because I'm coming after that bastard.
Yeah, well, I would too, and I wear my special gloves that have lead shot over the knuckles so I wouldn't damage my hand.
Oh, you're my hero, man.
Yeah,
you got them. I like them. Yep. Yeah. But so okay. The reason I played that is because, see, so if we're into the implementation phase, where are we at with this then? Have they identified?
Well, well, first of all, that driver is clearly committed a violent. It's a felony. That would be a felony offense, in my opinion, to striking a child in that like that. And I hope he was arrested and charged with, this kind of crime. He needed to be. Is there any follow-up to see if he was arrested and charged?
I was so angry, John. I didn't follow through with it, because,
And it was videotaped, I assume.
Yes, from right? The,
this guy needs to go to jail, obviously.
And again, folks, let me just say this, folks, because I'm getting really angry with this. Go to thelibertyman.com. All right. Thelibertyman.com. I want to tell you something. All right. This is a frequent daily stop for me, not just because of the video or the video, not because of his radio show, which airs live on RBN from 7 to 10 Central Time every week. Day that's 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Central Time. Not because of that. Not only because of that. And by the way, JR's videos are on Rumble, and you can click at the appropriate spot to view the channel. Go to HagmanReport.com. His link will be in there. But the daily intelligence briefing, the fact that he's got products on there that you need, we need. Okay. The fact that this is an information filled website, and I really want to, folks, please go there and check everything out, because, oh my goodness, not only the communist agenda exposed, but the COVID updates, the U.S. protest riots, the communist insurrection, and so on. It's all there. TheLibertyMan.com, and some of the great products he's got, just go through and grab them. I swear by I call it my force machine. Okay, now that's not what it's called, but that's what I call it, my force machine. It's something very cool.
The energy cleaner.
Yeah, the energy cleaner, which I have to tell you, it really works, folks. TheLibertyMan.com, TheLibertyMan.com. It's a fantastic. Website. So, okay, John. Yeah, now I'm not vibrating anymore after seeing that, because that just really torques me off, man.
Well, I should mention one of the products. We have a $200 price increase a week from today at midnight. A wood burning stove that has no smoke. I mean, who ever heard such a thing even exist? But it does. It's got all the necessary safety, inspections and everything. It's good in any jurisdiction. But because the price of steel has gone up so dramatically, they've had this slight increase. But it's still a big bargain, and I want to make sure people know that so they can get in on the current pricing if they want to.
Now, something, people, Eric the Tech and myself, we actually went through, watched the video that was associated with the rocket heater, okay? And I love this, because this is, if you're out and you're in a situation where you don't want people to know where you're at, this is the way to go. I mean, this is, it's a fabulous product in my view. Okay, so take advantage of the no price increase for 2 weeks.
So one week from tonight.
All right, folks, take advantage of it. Grab it today. Now, look, a lot goes into building these, and a lot goes into the kit. So, it might be a little bit on the. You might say, "Wow, that's a lot of money for a rocket stove." Oh,
well,
but
you look at what good quality wood burning stoves go for, yeah. And you'll see it really is a bargain.
Yes, and believe it or not, I've used rocket stoves before. But nothing like this. So, And when you look at it, it's like, wow, man, you know, it burns
so hot, you can safely burn pine and cedar because it burns so hot. There's no creosote buildup in your chimney.
Really?
Yep. Now, nobody burns pine or cedar in their wood burning stove, but you can safely in the rocket stove because you got complete combustion.
And this is no small deal, right? I mean, no small unit. This is a...
Well, it's 3 feet tall and about 16 inches wide and 2 feet deep. It's reasonable size. It's not terribly large.
No, but you know, when sometimes when people think of rocket stoves, they think of ammo box size. Okay.
Oh yeah. That's for campers. Yeah.
Right. Right. This is
enough to heat your home.
Right. Right. Man. Ah, that's fantastic. I don't know if I should even ask you how you came across this because.
Well, the manufacturer was one of my pistol students in concealed carry class.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, that's how we met. Yeah.
All right. Well, this is good stuff.
And I'm part of the company now. I'm the executive vice president of the company.
Oh, was that a hostile takeover or was that a friendly takeover? I'm kidding.
No, but I didn't take over anything. I'm just, this young, he's only 26 years old. He's 2 years older than my grandson, my oldest grandson.
I got you.
He has no experience dealing with the business world and all the complexities of contracts and business and bankers and major corporations, in which I have a lot of experience in those things.
Wow. Let me take care of this piece of business, John, if you don't mind.
Real quick,
folks, you know, this weekend, well, many weekends, many days, every day, I create a list of things I need to get done. And I want to just, talk to you about something very, very quickly here. You know, it feels great to cross things off your list that you've gotten done, it just feels good, right? But you know what feels great is paying off high interest credit cards, getting a lower rate and saving money. And if that's on your list, and it should be on your list, especially if you look at, it's your credit card statements and you think, my goodness, look at all these interest rates and some are like 18-19% and it's just crazy. So cross this off your list by going to Lightstream.com. It's an easy way to save hundreds to thousands of dollars to lower your interest rate. Lightstream offers credit card consolidation loans from, get this, 5.95% APR with auto pay and excellent credit. It's lower than the average credit card interest rate of over 18% APR. Plus, there's no fees. You can even get your money the same day as you apply. Lightstream believes that people with good credit deserve a better loan experience, and that's exactly what they deliver. Now, here's what you have to do to get this exclusive offer to our viewers and listeners. Okay, just for my viewers and listeners, you can apply now for a special interest rate discount and save even more. That's right. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Hagman. Now, I'm going to spell this out for you. It's LightStream.com/Hagman. That's lightstream.com/Hagman. Remember, two N's on Hagman, HAGMANN. Subject to credit approval, rates range from 5.95% APR to 19.99% APR and include a 0.50% auto pay discount. Lowest rate requires excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice, which is why you need to visit Lightstream.com, LightStream, Lightstream.com/Hagman, two N's on Hagman, for more information. And as I always like to say, you will thank me later. You'll be glad you did. That's Lightstream.com/Hagman. All right. My guest again is not a guest. He's part of the show. He's John Moore, TheLibertyMan.com, TheLibertyMan.com. All right, John. We've talked about a lot of things. Anything we need that we haven't touched on or that we should get into more?
Keep, you know, focus on what's important. Friends and family, their spiritual preparation. The times ahead of us are going to be extremely difficult. And those who have a strong spiritual foundation are much more likely to survive and do better than ones who do not have a strong spiritual foundation. And whatever that is for the individuals, I don't feel any obligation to tell people what their spiritual beliefs should be. I do feel obligated to let them know that that's an important thing that they need to take care of in whatever they think is the most appropriate way for themselves. And their health, what you eat, what you don't eat, getting proper exercise, plenty of pure drinking water, exercise that's appropriate for your age and your physical condition. These are all things that people need to always pay attention to, always keep in mind, because being physically fit during normal times is great. Being physically fit during a crisis is a matter of life and death, isn't it, Doug?
You know something? Yes. And I've got to say this. Our mutual friend, Ted and Austin Brower, healthmasters.com, have a great line of products that if you want to bolster your immune system, to me, they're the best on the planet. So please take care of yourself, right? I mean, we need to take care of ourselves. At our age, I'm kidding, kind of, sort of. At my age, anyway, I need to make sure every morning I take my multiple supplements. I take my B's, my C's, my D3, K2, HGH stimulant, whatever it takes. Because if you're lame and, 650 pounds and can't get out the door, can't get out of your chair, what good are you going to be to your family, or yourself? You're not going to be any good, right? So you're right.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right. Well, keeping those things in mind, people need to focus on skills. If a severe crisis was to come about, and I think we easily could be headed that way, if you have a group of six people or 600, there's two skills in biggest demand and shortest supply. That would be first aid CPR skills, number one, and number two, ham radio skills. Any group of people, you're going to have dozens of useful, great skills. But those two skills, once again, will be in the biggest demand and shortest supply. If you do get your first aid training, be sure you get a kit equal to your skill level. It would be a shame to not have things you're qualified to use, and you can injure or kill somebody if you attempt to use life-saving equipment that you're not qualified to use. So it's all important, and the time to do it is now. Get that first aid training. Get that CPR training. Work on your ham radio skills. I talk every Friday with my friend Tom Berryhill about ham radio and emergency survival communications. I learned firsthand during the Tet Offensive that if you don't have access to reliable information, your mind will immediately go to a worst-case scenario. That's just the way your brain works. So it's a matter of keeping yourself mentally healthy to know what's really going on in the world instead of guessing because you don't know. A good quality AM, FM, shortwave radio would be a wise investment. Hand crank, so they got an internal battery that you crank up by turning a little handle. That can give you a window to the outside world if all else fails. Simple, inexpensive. I like the Kaito, that's K-A-I-T-O, 600. It's less than $100. You can charge up your cell phone on there. Have a reading light, your AM, FM, shortwave, weather band radio, all in one nice compact package for less than $100. And these radios are great, and I never leave home without them. If I'm traveling someplace, I always have my Kaito 600 in a Faraday bag to make sure that I've got communications.
And I see you're, speaking of Faraday bags, I see you're also involved with EMP Shield, which I think is marvelous. If you go to thelibertyman.com, scroll down and you can get EMP Shields via John Moore, the Liberty Man, right there. All you have to do is click the link. It's on thelibertyman.com. So that's good. But yes, Faraday bags, cages, whatever, important. And you mentioned something about medical kits and, your skill level. What do you, John Moore, typically carry with you?
I carry the equivalent of an U.S. Army infantry medic bag at the squad level, not at the company level. Okay. It's a fairly small kit that can be used to. And the thing I'm concerned about is coming across a major automobile accident where there's some serious bleeding taking place. So I got what I need there to stop bleeding and keep, you know, try to get people stabilized until the EMTs show up with their wonderful truck full of equipment. But basically it's just a bunch of big bandages to stop bleeding, control bleeding, a tourniquet. If there's, you know, a really bad injury that we need to cut the blood from draining out of the body, that kind of thing.
I want to ask you a question. As an investigator, and as things get a little worse, do you wear body armor? Or would you suggest carrying body armor?
Well, up until fairly recently, body armor was too heavy and bulky to wear into the field. I would use it for a base camp and for convoy duty. But now body armor has gotten lightened enough that you actually can wear it in the field and not slow yourself down.
All right. You know, I'm learning from you, and folks, I hope you are as well. So, excuse me. So you've got a medical trauma kit. Body armor, if necessary. And of course, you know, self-defense, everyday carry weapons, period, ammunition. Oh, let me ask you this. Have you found any kind of, relief on ammunition at all in your area? I mean, can you get it?
A bit. Supplies and prices have eased up a bit. So that we got some smaller manufacturers that are ramping up their production. My friend Sam Andrews, who you know, Sam,
oh, yeah.
He says the big manufacturers have these massive government contracts, which is sucking up everything. But then I had a private source down in Panama that says you can buy all the high-quality American ammunition you want, Winchester, Remington, Hornady, at the local shops in Panama with no problem, at normal prices, by the way.
Really?
So, yeah, and that's right now. And apparently the proprietors of those shops say they can get all the ammunition they want at normal prices with no problem.
Well, that's where I got my fully automatic 50 caliber. No, I'm kidding, but okay, wow, okay, interesting. Interesting. And was it you who responded with the word Afghanistan when I said, when I asked the question about the parity between American citizens and the U.S. military, was it you that responded with that? I can't remember. Mike, the question was, just to refresh your memory, if it was you, I said, what good, you know, people talk about having guns and having ammunition. You know, what isn't that the problem if you're going up against the military hardware? I mean, that was, in fact, I received an email about that, of the U.S. military, if the military returns.
That sounds like a response I could have given. You know, Vietnam would be another good response.
Exactly.
Barefoot peasants bring the world's most powerful military to a standstill. And basically, the Afghans are the same thing, barefoot peasants with 100-year-old bolt-action rifles and some Kalashnikovs, fighting the world's most sophisticated military. I'll give you a good example of, and people are fearful of the high tech. The FLIR, which is a form of imaging involving thermal imaging, cost on the low end $50,000 to mount on the front of a plane, maybe quite a bit more than that. The countermeasure that the Mujahideen have used for 20 plus years now, since we went to Afghanistan, is space blankets. And all you do is spray the space blanket with some spray adhesive and sprinkle on some of the local dirt and sand to match the color of the local dirt and sand. And when you hear the aircraft, you just get underneath it and you have no heat signature.
Really?
So for $15, you can defeat the $50,000 thermal imaging.
I'm imagining, my silence is not confusion. I'm just kind of working through this in my head. So,
point being, Doug, there's always an inexpensive,
yeah,
effective way countermeasure. Now, in Vietnam, we had a piece of equipment we could drop from a plane 20,000 feet up that looked like a growing leafy plant that was actually, there were two versions. One version could detect human footsteps from other animals, and the other version could detect the smell of human urine and broadcast a signal back to Thailand, where we would have B-52s full of college-educated pilots and co-pilots, multi-million-dollar aircraft dropping millions of dollars worth of bombs on the buckets full of urine that the Viet Cong held hanging in the jungle, and not bomb the water buffalo that were concealing the footsteps of the Viet Cong as they walked through the jungle.
Wow. That's something I didn't know. Okay, so, and you know, folks, this might be anecdotal, but, you know, when questions are asked, well, how can we possibly defeat, you know, the armies of China, Russia, even the United States, if they turn on us, how can we do that? Did you just hear what John said? I mean,
there's always a cheap, effective countermeasure. Always, always, always. Do not give up.
Wow.
Do not give up.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of that article. Something about a handgun. What good is a handgun against an army or something like that? And it really gets into some good stuff. I don't remember who wrote it or when it was written, but I remember the lessons learned from that. Folks, John Moore, thelibertyman.com, thelibertyman.com. That's his website. Make sure you bookmark that, follow him everywhere, and take advantage of, especially the rocket stove, the, I got to tell you that 1 week before a price increase. So, you know, I like to save money. So there it is. And, you'll forever be, shall we say, hidden from view, at least in terms of the smoke aspect of your burning. So that's good. All right. John, we've got about, oh, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 minutes. What do you want to talk about, man? I mean, what else?
Well, I've been a preparedness consultant since the summer of 77, and I know the questions that come up and the differences between the questions the males have and the questions the females have, the issues with spouses. One spouse believes that preparedness is smart. The other thinks it's a waste of family resources, time, and money. And many of our listeners are dealing with the same thing right now. I'm going to encourage people, do not anguish over what you can't do. So you can't buy an old ICBM bunker that's been abandoned and rehab it into a luxury condo. Don't worry about that.
Yeah.
You focus on what you can do. Getting the skills, getting the simple equipment. You know, the Green Berets in Vietnam, they had very simple equipment. Basically not much different than what the regular GIs had. Ponchos and knives and parachute cord and mess kits and, you know, simple stuff, jungle boots. So take heart in what you can do. Take joy in what you can do. Don't worry about not having enough money. Many valuable things can be had at your local flea market, at yard sales, cast iron cookware, for example, tools. You can't really give away tools at flea markets and yard sales, but they're very valuable, and if you need them, you got them. And work with it. Help put together a team of men and women that you know and trust for years, men and women that you may be related to by blood or marriage or people you go to church with, maybe neighbors, whatever it is. You have to trust them implicitly and work together as a team. Work together training to learn various skills, and work together doing normal work, such as carpenter work or whatever it might be. You really get to know somebody when you're under those conditions.
That's
and do
true.
It now. And do it now. Seriously, time's a wasting.
And you know, John, something I was thinking about, all right, our fiat currency, which I know you've talked about on your show and stuff. I'm a believer right now in having a lot of 90% fractional, I don't know what you call it, junk silver, fractional constitutional silver, whatever, for the times ahead, because I have a feeling that we are going to see some really bad economic times. I don't know about you, but where people won't take our money, you know, or they don't want the fiat dollar bills.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, most people under age 50 don't know that there is such a thing as 90% silver coins, and we'll have a confused look on their face if you try to present them for buying something. But they would get educated pretty quick, I would think, in some future situation.
But I love your prep stuff about your trauma kit, about your, you know, about the Cato 600, the whatever, the communications aspect of things. I love that. I think that, you know, we are going to have to be able to stay in contact with one another when they pull the plug. When we're, you know, sitting watching TV in the dark, we're going to need to have I'm kidding about that, but we're going to have communications, and I think that's really critical. So, folks, make sure you bone up on that. Can people, if people, I don't, do you deal with Bob Griswold from Ready Made Resources at all? Do you deal with him?
I haven't yet, no.
Okay, all right. Yeah, he's really, I'll tell you what, he's really, you know what, folks, if you have any questions, John Moore maybe, or Bob Griswold from Ready Made Resources in terms of communications, but you heard what John said, so, you know, make sure you're not out of communications with this. And last question I've got, do you see, at this time, do you see a foreign invasion of our country?
Well, what we can deal with in 2 or 3 minutes.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
I'll do my best. I refer people to read the speech from the top Chinese military man at my website. It's translated into English. The Chinese fully intend to rule the world and do it soon. They can't do that without defeating the United States first. They prefer to defeat us and weaken us, I should say, economically and physically. That's how the war is already happening right now with the Wuhan flu as a Chinese biological weapon. Once we're weak enough economically, politically, militarily, physically, then they will make their move, and it will be kinetic to do the final conquering of our country. I think it's very possible. People need to understand that it is possible and make appropriate preparations, prudent preparations for that possibility, Doug.
Okay. Yeah, and you know what? That was a good answer for, you know, 60, 90 seconds. It's a deep subject, and I think that there's...
You don't look at what they will do. You look at what they can do.
Yeah.
That's important. We don't know what they will do, but we need to know and understand and comprehend what they can do.
Mm. And one of the questions or one of the issues I think that is really front and center of all this is the question that was on one of the sheets of news sheets today. What if the pandemic was man-made? I mean, in other words, you know, what if this was a biological weapon by the Communist Chinese Party? And I think that's a fair question. I think that's being proved to be true. And I think that that shows a shot fired in this war in which we find ourselves. So, and John, again, your website, great information on your website, great deals. Go to thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com. The man, the myth, the legend, John Moore, along with his TR-7 Triumph.
TR-6.
I'm sorry. TR-6. What am I thinking?
That's okay.
All right. Numbers, colors tomorrow, numbers today. All right, brother. Hey, I want to thank you for joining me today.
Thank you, Doug.
God bless you,
my friend. It was nice. It was fun 2 hours. Appreciate it.
It was. God bless. Have a great day.
Thanks, sir.
All right, folks, that'll do it, man. I'll tell you what, that time just flew by. I don't know about you, but to me, that time just flew by. John Moore, thelibertyman.com, always a class act. Folks, I want to just thank each and every one of you for, number one, supporting the Hagman Report. Number two, for purchasing the book, In the Dark of Night. God bless you, and thank you for leaving an honest review on Amazon. Did you know that the more reviews, the more exposure? It's great. And I'm going to thank Russ Dizdar. God bless you, Russ, for all that you do. Craig Sawyer, for all that you do. Steve Quayle. And Dave Hodges, too. Pray for Dave Hodges. Ah, man. All right, folks. Have a great night.